Hello, Tom Myers here. If you're like me and you've got a lot to say, a lot of stories to share, a lot of opinions to give, then listen up. I'm going to talk about something that's going to take your passion for podcasts to the next level. I'm talking about the 7 Million Bikes podcast course. This is the podcasting course you need. Imagine having the skills, the knowledge, and the confidence to create, produce, and grow a successful podcast. And you're not doing it alone. I'm talking about Neil Mackay, the podcast guy, founder of 7 Million Bikes Podcasts. He knows what it takes to turn your passion into a podcast that stands out. He's going to guide you through everything from podcast ideas that resonate to nailing that audio production and even editing your episodes like a pro. With 23 tutorials and over 3 hours of video content, this course is packed with practical tips, real-world examples, and everything you need to know to get started. Just $97 for a wealth of knowledge that'll set you up for podcasting success? It's a no-brainer. Think about it. Less than $100 to unleash your creativity, share your story, and potentially even turn your passion into a profitable business. People like Ian Payton, who's taken the course, launched their own podcast, and already in the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. And you could be next. The 7 Million Bikes podcast course is your ticket to podcasting greatness. Go to the link in my show notes right now and let's make your podcasting dream a reality.
Hi, I'm Aaron, the owner and producer of Oddly Funny Productions. That's Awdly Funny Productions. Bombing Run, the original comedy combat game show. It's an hour's worth of comedians clashing with their jokes. And soon to be released, Orb's Wacky World, a talk show with a twist. It'll be a mix of comedy, unusual questions, and music with Orb as the host. Oddly Funny Productions. We might be odd, but we bring the funny to you. That's Awdly Funny Productions.
Hey everyone, it's me again. If you're tired of listening to this show with all these ads in the way, go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon. In addition to listening to this show without the ads, you also get extended versions of these episodes and bonus clips as well. Doesn't cost that much. You can get plans for as low as $1 a month. You can show the love and your support. Just go to patreon.com/TomMyers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S, and subscribe and listen and enjoy today. Again, that's patreon.com/TomMyers.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello. And welcome to Tom Myers versus the rest of the world. Donald Trump's criminal trial in the Stormy Daniels hush money case starts on April 15th. If he's convicted, he could lose a lot of supporters and therefore the election in November. And along with that, the ability to have his pick for attorney general dismiss all his federal cases. Finally, a side effect of banging a porn star worse than catching an STD or residual splooge. Trump faced criticism after saying that if he lost the election, there would be a bloodbath. His supporters were saying he meant an economic bloodbath, but that's unlikely. While I'm sure Trump knows the word economic, there's a lot of doubt he knows what that word means. Florida's Don't Say Gay bill has been struck down by a state court. This has led to public backlash against the policies of the state's governor, Ron DeSantis. I don't know if we've talked about him yet this year. You know, his policies are so bad when even the residents of Florida are fighting back. You know, it's bad when even the guys who do the bang bus videos are like, this is fucking disgusting. As if things aren't bad enough down there, there's a measles outbreak. Since DeSantis's Surgeon General won't mandate vaccines for kids going to school. Great. Another disease that can be caught on the bang bus.
Oh, Jesus.
Ron DeSantis has also been criticized lately because of his administration's lack of transparency. If anything, there's too much transparency in terms of racism and fascism. The only thing they lack down there are laws and health guidelines. Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert posted a photo of herself washing her feet in a public bathroom sink. I hope whoever does the maintenance there smashes and destroys the sink, bug bombs the bathroom, and condemns the whole building. In the photo, she was grinning it while she was doing it as well. It's as if she was saying to us, I want to make sure my feet are clean so I can find a new way to pleasure my date. For legal reasons, she wasn't thinking that. To the best of my knowledge. A guest of Joe Rogan's podcast was arrested after a head was discovered in his freezer. I was shocked. I always thought Joe Rogan's guests were so well-adjusted, rational, and made good decisions. In my local news, Johns Hopkins has stopped sending its medical waste to be incinerated to help combat pollution. So they're going with a safer method and one that has the least environmental impact. They're dumping it right into the Inner Harbor. It's quite beneficial, as some of the antidotes they drop in there may kill some of the lingering diseases that infect it. Baltimore attorney Peter Angelos has died. In testament to his ownership of the Baltimore Orioles, no one will show up to his funeral. It would be fitting if the current Orioles magic was so powerful that it killed the guy who destroyed the team for so many years. And on that cheerful note, on with the show. Please join me in welcoming Jeff Heisen, Gina Brown, Chip Jones, and Valerie Pascal.
Hey, Tom. Hey.
Hello.
Everyone, welcome. Jeff, welcome back to the show. I hope you enjoyed your vacation.
Yeah, thank you. I was in Florida for a month. And
Spring training.
Spring training. I didn't catch COVID. I only got a few dirty looks in Publix for wearing a mask, but it was a good month. And I do not have a bugaboo about being on the show. And I'm using that word properly, as opposed to Congressman David Trone, who may have lost his chances for the Senate by using an alternative when he meant to use the word bugaboo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed a lot of white people in front of microphones doing and saying something stupid.
Yeah.
I have too.
In other words, welcome to the final season of this podcast.
Oh, there we go. You know, I was going to tell you.
I'm preemptively canceling myself. So
it makes me think of something I was going to say earlier. I think it's a quote by Abraham Lincoln that any bus can be a bang bus if you're brave enough, I think is what he said. So put that one in your pocket. You know,
was that the type of scoring he was referring to when he said
that's it? Yeah.
Beats any performance in a theater. I've always said that.
Lauren Boebert would disagree.
Yeah, that's right.
You mean her date would disagree.
speaking of beating any performance in a theater. one thing I did, Jeff, I wanted to welcome you back, of course. Some of you who've listened to my show know Jeff has a podcast of his own. It's called National League Town, but you temporarily rebranded it, I noticed.
I did, because it was just me and my co-host wasn't there in Florida. So it was just me talking about spring training with the Mets, a topic that has nothing to do. There's very little overlap, I would imagine, between the Tom Myers versus the rest of the world audience and the National League Town audience. But I did have a month in Florida, and it's called Grapefruit League Town, and it's under the banner National League Town. It really makes sense.
So I tell you what, I mean, I enjoyed the episodes. I happened to pull a couple clips from a couple of previous episodes, and this clip, ladies and gentlemen, is our Jeff Heisen Unleashed. Let's take a listen to this.
Oh, yeah. And finally, I note the comments today by Andy Martino of SNY. He posted on social, excited for spring breakout game today featuring players everyone will love, and then will reject in favor of J.D. Martinez. Hey, Martino, stop being a dick. I know that all of the Mets beat reporters think that the fans are stupid. Don't talk down to us. I respect Andy Martino's knowledge, but don't talk down to us. We know better than that. That was an obnoxious statement.
And that was Jeff Hyson using a scripted four-letter word. Oh, this is...
I could feel the heat on that one.
So baseball is what does it for you, huh?
That's it, man. That was low and a little outside. I felt the heat.
So here's the thing, Jeff. If you were an Orioles fan, this wouldn't be an issue, because whenever we hear criticism about the team, even when they do well, it's just like, well, yeah, okay.
Good point. Yeah.
I think some reporters act high and mighty, and they do know a lot more than we do because of their access, but don't be patronizing. And that's what Andy Martino was in that instance. And that's why I let loose. I'd say that's why you heard that four-letter word.
Called him to task. There you go. Get that guy in line, Jeff. That's
right. Man, that's bluer than I think I've heard you in over a decade on stage, Jeff.
Yeah, that won't happen on stage.
I will say you did use that word incorrectly. It's patronizing. It's patronizing. Basically, that just means when one shows a feeling of superiority over someone else, in case you didn't know that.
Thank you for explaining that to us.
Like one straight cisgendered white man mansplaining something to another straight cisgendered white man. Gina, Valerie, am I doing this correctly? Am I doing this the 2020? I mean,
you're doing a great job.
Nice. Merriam-Webster just added another word, Tom-splaining.
Frankly, Val and I don't exactly know how to do it correctly, so we don't know.
Well, this...
We just can appreciate your good work.
Right.
This is my favorite of the two clips that I'm playing right here from Grapefruit League Town. This is from, I believe, the most recent Grapefruit League Town episode, the one before you came back to Maryland. Let's take a listen to this.
As for Yankees hats, we've talked about Yankees jerseys. I didn't see any jerseys today. It was a little too hot, but I saw a whole family wearing Yankees hats. They decided to leave their house and go to the game. Doesn't involve the Yankees and wear Yankees hats. Maybe they saw New York and thought it was the Yankees. That's possible. They're Yankees fans. They could have been confused.
I love how living in Maryland all these years, like, you've really learned our way of giving shade to Yankees fans.
That's right.
That's easy. That comes with the territory when you're a Mets fan. That's one thing we have in common with Orioles fans. And basically fans of any other team.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Those Yankees uniforms, are they still cotton? Are they still cotton?
It's a breathable fabric.
It's a breathable fabric, yeah.
But it's...
what could go wrong?
My point was all these... At every game I went to in spring training, every spring training Mets game I went to, there'd be some guy wearing a Yankees jersey. And I don't understand it. Your team's not playing. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get that clip on just to combat Joshua Postel's Yankees remark from the last episode. You know, like, I love Josh. He's, you know, welcome back on the show anytime. But it's just, you know, it's you bring up the Yankees on a Maryland-centric podcast with a regular Mets panelist. Yeah. It's going to happen.
That's right. Well, thank you for doing that, Tom.
As of now, Donald Trump gets an extra 10 days to put up a bond for his appeal, which, thanks to an appeals court, is now a fraction of what he owes on the fraud judgment. Leave it to white privilege to give him the Sam's Club discount. Trump's self-image has always been his top priority, even more than the dealings of his company and the welfare of the country. As this insightful tour of his New York office during his 2016 campaign shows.
So these awards are given to me by the Jewish community for different things. And this is the Tree of Life, which is a very big award in terms of everything that I stand for. It means so much to me. And a lot of times I'll have friends of mine come in, Jewish, and they will see the Tree of Life and they'll say, wow, what a great thing. Likewise, right over here, this is the Shalom Humanitarian Award, and that was presented to me also. And these are different awards I've had over the years for different things I've done. This is when I backed the United States in its big cup race and the yacht race, the America's Cup Foundation, which was terrific. And these are just some of the older magazine covers. Now I have so many that I can't put them up. Different things. That's Variety, where The Apprentice was the number one show on television. You'll see The Apprentice was number one. This was the finale, number one on television. You might get close up next to see it. That was on the cover of Playboy. And it was one of the few men in the history of Playboy to be on the cover. So I don't know. And these are just different magazines. This is a picture with Ronald Reagan that was taken at the White House. And it was he was terrific. Had a very good relationship with him. Not a big relationship because I was young, but he liked me and I liked him.
Yeah, he liked you because at the time his brain was already turning into Swiss cheese. So he couldn't remember who the fuck you were.
He's like a kindergartner. Oh my gosh. Look at this. Look at I drew a picture.
And the sad part is that he probably can't even melt down any of those golden frames to help to help pay for them. He probably like made them himself out of discarded Ferrero Rocher wrappers.
Gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people take those covers and they put them in a closet or a back room or a basement. He has them for everybody to see. Because that's his ego needs that. He needs to look at them and be reminded of his exploits and that he had the number one show and he was on the cover of Playboy. And to him, that's the same thing as being elected president.
Yeah. And that a Jewish faith liked him.
I mean, seeing all that makes me feel like I walked into like a crappy sports bar.
don't put down sports like that. That's not right. Appropriate.
That's right.
You should have a jersey up. That's very funny. That's right.
Well, actually, in later on in the video, or I think it was of a different, because this is from the Washington Post, I think in the Wall Street Journal version, the Tory gave his office, he showed him Shaquille O'Neal's shoe, Tom Brady's helmet. So he does. There was some sports stuff in there, but yeah, like a sports
he's got a whole bunch of stuff. It's very eclectic. I mean, the thing, you know, it's interesting because it's Tuesday night. Usually you go to his office on Tuesday night, they got a wing special. So it's, you know.
This podcast is going out on Thursday, so technically it's a half-price burger special.
Yeah, that's right. after 10.
Although I don't know that the Donald Trump sports bar is open anymore, since we know that how most of his businesses end up.
Business and residential fallout occurred even before Trump's campaign victory. This report from a European outlet just days before his inauguration gives us a foreshadowing of the worth of his company.
It's politics, tourism, and shopping all mixed together. What happens upstairs is a bit more private. Up to the 26th floor, the tower is office space, including for Trump himself. Further up, 265 luxury apartments. Actor Bruce Willis and footballer Cristiano Ronaldo keep pied-à-terres there. Even Michael Jackson had a residence. At the very top, the inner sanctum, Donald Trump's three-story penthouse.
Well, welcome to Trump Tower.
George Lombardi is an Italian businessman and Trump's neighbor. He's proud to live in the same building as the future president, whom he's known for over 20 years.
We both have a bit of a taste for the Rococo, the Baroque, but Trump's style is a bit more, let's say, American.
That flashy style is reflected throughout the building.
Some gold,
everywhere.
To try to sell vacant apartments, this real estate agent has had to change the decor.
Everybody prefers modern, clean, simple, minimalistic.
The list price, 2 million euros for 100 square meters. But for now, no buyers. Trump Tower seems to have lost some of its residential appeal. That may have something to do with the massive security cordon that now surrounds the area. Luxury boutiques in and around the tower are losing clients, with some itching to move out, since the nuisance won't be letting up anytime soon. That's because even after he moves to the White House, Donald Trump plans to spend his weekends here.
Spoiler alert, he did not spend his None weekends there. Also, I don't know. Trump is totally American, like he is, if he's totally has his own American style. I mean, he's never been caught spitting while scratching his junk in public. So, I mean, he does have that going for him.
But that happens at the Trump sports bar.
Right, that's right. Well, you know, the main reason he never spent his weekends there is because that's where his family was.
And it doesn't have a golf course. That building should be owned by the city of New York.
It's about to be.
That's right.
And guess which podcast aims to be the first to record at the Judge Arthur Angeron Studios at the new tower. I'm locking to do that.
Ooh.
We know what businesses thought of being associated with the Trump name, but what about the residents of the most famous gaudy building in New York City? One resident, Keith Olbermann, went on The View to discuss why he could no longer have the 45th president of the United States as his landlord.
You have lived in a Trump building for...
I feel great.
I take my hand back. You have lived in a Trump building for 9 years.
It was a great view. And my girlfriend at the time said, let's just get, we stop looking, we buy this view, we see 8 bridges from here, it's beautiful.
And you wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post entitled, I can't stand to live in a Trump building anymore.
Yes.
Tell us why.
First up, if anybody's looking for an apartment in New York City, I can help you out with a good lead. But secondly, I ran out of, I couldn't go under the sign anymore that said Trump Palace without spitting because and I ran out of spit.
I know a lot of New York open mic comics, especially some who lean toward the edgelord point of view of things, who probably, you get enough of them together, they could pull their resources, they could probably have rented that apartment, or been able to afford to anyway.
I mean, even back then, well, I don't know when Keith got it, but in no recent time has Trump ever been somebody that I would have imagined Keith Olbermann would have been happy about having as a landlord. Like it's not like all of a sudden in 2016 he became, you know, this horrendous demon like he always was. So
he just became progressively horrendous.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
He was happy to take his money.
Well, right. Trump was happy to take his money, but the fact that Keith was all, like that was ever an option. Ew.
But you know the upside of getting property or renting from Trump is that each year your space gets bigger. You know, it just automatically.
That's just, right. You know,
knock a wall.
Yeah.
No, just automatically on paper, it just gets larger.
Right. Oh, right. True.
Oh, yeah. 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 Maybe Keith Olbermann was a Bruce Willis fan.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, it looks like the same apartment when I moved into it, but it's actually 3 times the size now for some reason.
What was the word the French report used for the not apartment? They said like Bruce Willis.
Pied-à-terre, I think. Pied-à-terre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's where you bring your side chick, I think is what.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds classier in French.
Right. That's right.
Right. Yeah. But apparently, along with Cristiano Ronaldo, who I didn't realize was welcome back in the country.
He might not be now, right?
Well, one of the things that I believe this was said in a later interview that Keith Olbermann did, but this is when everybody thought that Donald Trump was a liberal Democrat. So Keith Olbermann says that Trump would repeatedly compliment him on his MSNBC show and the content of it. So he was probably playing that con man game even then.
Hmm. So I guess maybe Keith wasn't up on some of his racist tendencies in other dwellings in New York City. So, because that was pretty well known.
Right. I mean, no matter where you are, like, is anybody really 100% on board with their property owners?
Probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, the property owner's name is Trump, right. Yes. But yeah, normally you're right. Right.
Yeah, you know, Trump has that history of redlining and stuff. In fact, it's weird because Michael Jackson tried to get an apartment in that building in the 70s, but he couldn't get it till later when he lightened up. That's when they
when he was passing. He was passable
right. Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
And famous too, to be fair.
Right.
He doesn't mind if you don't look like him as long as you're right. Famous. That's what I'll take the photos with you. And,
Michael Jackson, he's not black, he's green. Yeah.
True.
If his real estate empire does in fact crumble into oblivion and obscurity, will it mean that Trump will be forced to start at the bottom of the business food chain? This 2011 clip from the Oprah Winfrey Show shows us how that may look.
Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Mr. Trump.
So you're going to teach me something today.
I hope I can do that.
Well, I'm going to try doing your job. It's not going to be easy.
Don't do it too well. Try that one on, see if that fits.
It's very interesting.
We do everything from walking dogs to running up groceries to whatever the guests may need. We really never have to say no to a guest. I believe that somebody just called down for a dog walking appointment. I always keep a dog biscuit on hand just in case the dog is either nice or not so nice.
Very
so
good.
He's,
I hope it's not a vicious dog. Hello, how are you?
Oh my goodness.
I'm here to walk your dog.
Gosh.
We have a doggy park at the hotel.
Yes.
And I'm going to take it for a little walk.
Thank you.
Have a good time. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Hey, sweetheart. Hey. Come on, hon. Come on. We'll go over here. You take your dog, you go outside, it's freezing, and you walk around for a while, and it's not that easy. Okay, be careful. The fact that she trusted me with that dog was amazing. Probably she shouldn't have, but it worked out. Am I allowed to accept tips?
You are.
Let's go get a guest.
You can see the video online, but the dog looked terrified.
He needs those tips now. Uh-huh. I hope he did accept them.
Yeah, that's how he operated his presidency.
Sent, that's right. Yeah,
you want something like he just did that with TikTok. He changed his mind on the proposed TikTok ban after the head of TikTok gave him a lot of money. So he's still working for tips.
Right. Yes. Just like his presidency, you'll notice he took the dog out, but he didn't clean the shit up behind it. Right.
So. Yeah. Imagine if he had to do the actual difficult things involved with dog walking. Imagine if he actually had to clean up diarrhea or like call an ambulance because he saw a wreck or take care of a migrant worker that was asleep on the sidewalk, you know, like real dog walkers do.
Oh my God.
That video.
I say from personal experience.
In that video, like he also, he had a very basic understanding of not only what he was doing, but also of sentences. It sounded like, I take the dog, I walk it,
The dog did business on my shoe, and it did not go with the color of my shoe. What a rude dog, so I ate the biscuit. That's you know, right. Like I was... And on that note, that's our show. I want to thank Jeff Heisen, Gina Brown, Chip Jones, and Valerie Pascal. But before we go, my final thought. 4 years ago this week, the United States surpassed 100,000 COVID-19 cases. California, New York, and other states had issued stay-at-home orders by this time 4 years ago. In many states, schools, bars, and restaurants were closed, and social gatherings were strongly discouraged and forbidden by state mandates. This was after then-President Trump had said the number of cases would go from 15 to zero. Total non-farm payroll employment fell by 701,000 that month, and the unemployment rate went up to 4.4%, increasing by 0.9%. The number of unemployed persons rose from 1.4 million to 7.1 million, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It was the largest percentage increase in unemployment in 1 month since January 1975. The stock market was recovering from a crash that had taken place just after hitting its then record high on February 18th of that year. Now, gas prices are slightly lower than they are now. The average price of a gallon of regular unleaded fuel in March 2020 was $2.42, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration's website. However, at the time, less fuel was being consumed because nobody was going anywhere because, remember this, we were just going under lockdown because of a contagious and severe respiratory virus. In short, are we better off today than we were 4 years ago? In case you need to be reminded, which some of you do, then the answer is yes. Good night. This episode was written and hosted by Tom Myers with panelists Jeff Heisen, Gina Brown, Chip Jones, and Valerie Pascal. Special thanks to the Grapefruit League Town and National League Town podcasts. Theme music composed and arranged by Jeroen Vandenberg. Executive producers Tom Myers, Matt Connerton for IPM Nation, and Eddie Carson for Odyssey Radio. Please leave a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast's Patreon for ad-free episodes, extended episodes, and bonus clips. Thank you for listening, and please visit tommyers.us. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you want to listen to more of this episode, go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon. There you can get extended versions of episodes like this one, as well as bonus clips. You can even listen to regular episodes without all these pesky little ads through which you have to fast forward. Doesn't really cost that much. Plans as low as $1 a month. Go to patreon.com/TomMyers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S. Show the love, subscribe, show your support today. That's patreon.com/TomMyers.
Hi everyone. I'm Orb. I am not the official spokesperson for Oddly Funny Productions. That's A-W-D-L-Y, Funny Productions. Aaron is tied up right now. Shut up, I'll untie you in a minute. Here at Oddly, we're producing some great shows. Bombing Run, where comedians compete to see who's Joker Ace. And Orb's Wacky World, a talk show with a mix of comedy, uncomfortable questions, and music, hosted by yours truly. When you think of comedy, think of Oddly Funny Productions. That's A-W-D-L-Y, Funny Productions. Now, how do I get out of here?
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.